This is Your Life, episode 31. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be talking about my advice to beginning bloggers. As a result of writing my book, Platform, Get Noticed in a Noisy World, I get a lot of email about blogging. People want to know what I advise about getting started. And this question also always comes up when I speak on the topic of platform. But in this episode of the podcast, I want to answer that question for you. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Bluehost Web Hosting, the only web hosting service I personally recommend. Why? Because it's easy to use, reliable, and inexpensive. It's also the official top recommendation of WordPress itself. Not sure how to set up a self-hosted WordPress blog? No problem. I've got a free step-by-step screencast, actually click-by-click, where I walk you through the process of setting up your very own self-hosted WordPress blog. You don't have to have any technical expertise, I promise. You can do it in 20 minutes or less, and you can find out more at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup. And on that page, I'll also provide you with a link to get a hosting account for only $3.95 a month, which is a special discount that Bluehost is offering to my blog readers and podcast listeners. So let's talk about my advice for beginning bloggers. I'm a big believer in blogs, as you probably know, as a vehicle for building a platform. And in my book Platform, I lay out what I call a social media framework, and it consists of three parts or three different aspects. But part number one is called a home base. This is a place in cyberspace that you own and control. And for most people, yes, this is going to be a blog. It could also be a podcast, or it could be a video podcast, but it's a place, and this is the distinctive, it's a place where you have 100% control of the design and the content. In other words, the branding and the message, that's a home base. Number two, the second part, is an embassy or embassies. These are the places in cyberspace you don't own and control, but where you have a presence. Examples would include things like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Pinterest. But don't confuse these with a home base. You don't want to use these as a home base because you don't have primary control over the content. Those services could change overnight, and your home base or your web content or even your branding could change as a result of it. So there's not enough control for that to be your home base, but it makes for a great embassy where you have a presence and where you reach out to other people and refer them back to your home base. The third part of a social media framework are outposts. And these are places in cyberspace you monitor using a tool like Google Alerts, where you can pick up on the conversation so that if somebody blogs about you or tweets about you, you can pick that up and decide whether or not you're going to enter into that conversation. And it could have an impact, a positive impact on your brand as a result. So for most people wanting to build a platform, a blog will be their home base. It's what I recommend. It's the foundation of everything else they do. But how do you get started? As I said, I get asked this question several times a week. In fact, just today we had my son-in-law, Sean, and my daughter, Madeline, over for lunch. And he began asking my advice about blogging because he's thinking about blogging as a way of building visibility for his new business. And so what I'm going to tell you in this episode is exactly what I told him and what I would tell anyone if you had the opportunity to sit down over a cup of coffee and ask for my advice. And it's based on my 8+ years and actually doing it day in and day out. But here's the premise. You can launch a successful blog by taking just 8 steps. Step number one, determine your blog's focus. Most bloggers take one of three approaches. Approach number one, some write on whatever happens to interest them at the moment. So in this sense, their blogs are truly web journals. Approach number two, others select a single theme and stick to it. And frankly, this takes a lot of discipline, but it's probably the best choice. And then approach number three, still others like me focus on a primary theme, but occasionally deviate from it. But in general, the more narrow your focus, the more traffic you'll garner, the better your blog will do. For example, my blog is about intentional leadership, and I use that as a filter for deciding what I'm going to post on and where the focus of my blog is going to be. My friend John Saddington has a blog called Tent Blogger that's about entrepreneurship and startups. My daughter, Mary Crimmins, has a blog about fresh, seasonal, and local food. And my friends at Gap International have a blog about exceptional business performance and growth. But in every case, there's a focus to the blog. And in order to get a focus, you've got to ask yourself two vital questions. Can you generate high-quality content on a regular basis? And by regular, I mean at least once a week. This is like a minimum standard. If you can't do that, then you've probably got the focus too narrow. Second question to ask yourself is, will your content attract a loyal and growing audience? In other words, there's got to be an overlap between your interest and the market's interest in order for you to have a successful blog. But I would not invest a bunch of time and money until you can answer these questions with a resounding yes. The truth is, most people who start a blog quit within a few months. And I hate that that's true, but you may have done this yourself, and it doesn't mean you can't restart or get consistent, but it means there's this danger and you've got to get the focus dialed in right. Not too broad so that you lose the focus of the audience, but not so narrow so that you lose interest yourself. So step number one is determine your blog's focus. Step number two is select a service. Now, there's scores of options out there. There's WordPress, which you hear me talking about a lot. There's TypePad. There's Blogger. There's a bunch of different services. I only recommend one. And, you know, maybe I should be more broad-minded, but trust me, this comes out of experience. I started with TypePad, but I only recommend one. And yes, that is WordPress. However, WordPress comes in two different flavors. WordPress.com, which is also the hosted version, which means basically WordPress is running on the WordPress servers. This is the easiest to set up. No muss, no fuss. You can do it quickly and you can get up and running quickly. And I'm going to talk about that more in just a moment. And then WordPress.org, which is the self-hosted version, which means that you're downloading the WordPress software, you're installing it on your server, or at least a server that you lease, but it provides the most options for customization and for control. And to decide which one you're going to use, I suggest that you ask yourself three questions. Question number one, what is your ultimate goal? Is this just a hobby, or will this be the basis of your personal or professional platform? If this is just going to be a hobby, absolutely choose WordPress.com, because again, it's simple. You probably don't need that much control, and you're primarily just interested in communicating or recording your thoughts. If you're serious about building a platform, I would choose WordPress.org. It's a little bit more investment on the front end, but it's going to pay a lot of dividends on the back end. So question number one, what is your ultimate goal? Question number two, how much control do you want? Self-hosted WordPress provides an unlimited number of themes and plugins. And I mean, you can roll your own and get it exactly like you want it, more or less. Or hosted WordPress provides a more limited set of options, but how much control do you want? How much control do you really need? I mean, honestly. Then question number three, what is your technical proficiency? If you're technologically challenged, absolutely choose WordPress.com. You know, don't go past go until you've been successful there and you can make it work there. If you're a bit of a power user, and you don't have to be a geek for this, but if you're a bit of a power user, if you're not intimidated by computers or learning new things, then I would choose WordPress.org because, again, it's going to give you the most control, the most customization, and I think you'll be the most satisfied over the long haul. But regardless, if in doubt, and listen to me on this, if in doubt, start with WordPress.com. You can always upgrade later. It's not that difficult. It's a simple matter of exporting your blog posts and then re-importing them into WordPress.org. So step number two is select a service. Step number three is set up your own blog. If you're going the self-hosted route, then watch my screencast, How to Launch a Self-Hosted WordPress Blog in 20 Minutes or Less. And I've got a link in the show notes, but that's the best and the fastest way to do it. Then decide on a theme. And in this context, this means the colors, the number of columns, the overall look and feel of your blog. You'll likely want to include your picture. And if so, you'll obviously need a digital copy of that. Regardless, this is something you can tweak as you go. You can change the colors. You can change the layout. That's one of the great things about publishing on a blog is it's so malleable. You can make it anything you want it to be. And you can change it in midstream if you want to do that as well. But with WordPress, you can also select, and this is a cool thing, pre-designed themes and adjust some of the details. So you can get someone who's a professional designer, in essence, who creates a theme, and you use that theme and vary it a little bit to make it your own, but the basics are already laid out for you. And I wouldn't get overwhelmed by all the options. I would choose from one of the major theme developers, somebody like Woo Themes or Elegant Themes or StudioPress or Standard Theme, which I used to use. And I'm even coming out with my own theme called Get Noticed. And in case you're wondering, that's supposed to ship by the end of the year. But I've got links to all those services in the show notes if you're interested. But just browse those, spend a little time, get comfortable with something that's appealing to you. But a key point I would make here is that a blog is never really done. It's a work in process, so don't get stuck. Perfectionism is the mother of procrastination. Don't worry about getting perfect. Just get something that's directionally where you want to go and then launch it. So step number three, set up your blog. Step number four, write your first post. I mean, this is really what it comes down to. And if you haven't done a lot of writing, this may prove to be the most difficult part. But I would suggest that you do this. Keep your post short, especially if you don't have a lot of experience. I recommend less than 500 words. Develop your momentum and get the hang of it and stick to what you know. Now, you probably take for granted the fact that you've got a great deal of specialized information that other people would find helpful, possibly even fascinating, but you're blinded by the familiar. You take your expertise for granted. And one of the things, one of the most helpful things you can do in beginning to write a blog is to mine your own experience and ask yourself the question, what do I do that comes natural, or knowledge that I have that I've accumulated over time that other people would welcome and would be excited to get? If you don't know where else to start, begin with a welcome to my blog post. And we've all done this. I've done this. Tell your prospective readers why you started your blog, what kind of things you intend to write about. I wrote a post like this when I relaunched my blog in 2005 as I became the CEO of Thomas Nelson, and it was called, cleverly, Welcome to My New Blog. And I've got a link in the show notes if you just want to see one man's effort at trying to launch a blog and not really knowing what to say initially. So step number four is write that first post. Step number five, consider using an offline blogging client. Now, this isn't necessity, but it will make blogging much easier. An offline blogging client is like a word processor for blogging. It enables you to write when you're not online and then upload your post when you connect to the internet. You can also schedule posts to run on a specific day or time, which is a very useful function. Many of them have a WYSIWYG function where you know what you see is what you're going to get. And these are very helpful in terms of cataloging your blog posts and keeping them all in one place. The most popular of the offline blogging clients are Windows Live Writer and BlogJet for Windows, and then Mars Edit for Mac. I used to use a program called Ecto, E-C-T-O, but the developer doesn't seem to be supporting it much, so I moved a couple years ago to Mars Edit. I have not looked back. That is a great program, and it's the one that I recommend and the one I use every single day for editing offline and writing my blog content. So step number six, consider using an offline blogging client. Step number six, add the bells and the whistles. Most blogs allow you to post the books you're reading, the albums you enjoy, various other lists. Typepad is especially adept at this. You can also incorporate third-party services like MailChimp, AWeber, FeedBlitz, or FeedBurner. These enable your readers to subscribe to your site and even receive an email whenever you post a new entry. And with WordPress, there are literally thousands of plugins available that extend the functionality of the basic program. So you can add these bells and whistles as you go. But let me warn you, don't get bogged down with this, and don't add so many plugins that you start slowing down how your site loads, because the site load time is a critical metric in keeping people coming back. If it takes too long to load, people just bounce off it. They go to the next thing. So keep it slim, keep it trim, only use the WordPress plugins if you're using WordPress that really are a necessity. Don't get carried away. Step number seven, publicize your blog. Tell your friends, put your blog address everywhere, your email signature, your business cards, any advertising or promotion you do. If you're in a business where you run traditional ads, make sure your blog site is prominently listed. If you're a speaker, put your blog URL on a slide. If you're in the media and have a chance to be interviewed on podcasts or radio shows or television shows, then reference your blog URL in an answer to the question. And you got to do this kind of artfully so that it doesn't look too self-promotional, but it's a great way to get your name out there and to get your blog site URL out there. And then I would also suggest that you use social media. Boy, this was a major inflection point for me when I started using Twitter and Facebook. But whenever you publish a new post, announce it to your social media networks and provide a link back to the article. And whatever you do, don't overdo this. When I publish a new blog post, I do this twice a day. I do it once in the morning, early in the morning, about 6 a.m. And then I do it later, right before lunch at about 11:20 a.m. Central Time. That's just kind of my pattern. I've tested a couple of other times. Those seem to be the most productive, but don't overdo it. And we've all seen these people on Twitter who are constantly, never endingly, it seems, promoting their most recent blog post. And it can get kind of old. So be cautious with that, but do use social media. It's a great tool. And then I would also suggest you optimize your post for what's called SEO, or search engine optimization. It's not as complex as you think. If you use one of the major themes like Standard Theme or like my new theme, Get Noticed, there will be an opportunity for you to enter the metadata for each post, and it makes it very simple for you to optimize the SEO so that the search engines and people who are looking for your topic areas or for your subject matter specialties will be able to find you easily. And then I would suggest also you read chapter 35 in my book Platform, which talks about blog traffic and how do you get more of it. So step number 7 is publicize your blog. And then step number 8, and I would say this is the most important when you're starting out and when you're beginning the blogging journey, is to write regularly. This is the best advice I could give you for building readership. If people like what you write, they'll come back. It's that simple. If there's nothing new to read, they'll eventually lose interest. And this is why you have to be consistent. The more regularly you post, the more your readership will grow. And I suggest you schedule time to write. It's not just going to happen on its own. Look, setting up a blog is the easy part. Actual blogging, writing, is the hard part. And once the initial enthusiasm wanes, it's so difficult to keep posting. And most would-be bloggers post less and less until they simply quit and abandon their blogs. Don't be that person. At some points, it comes down to making a commitment and then sticking to it. And the most important advice I could give you overall is just start. You don't have to have it all figured out. You know enough to move forward right now. And so take that next step. So with that, let's get to a few listener questions. The first one comes from Calum.
Hi, Michael. My name is Calum Henderson, and I'm calling from Sydney, Australia. My website is icebreakers.me, where I upload icebreaker games, activities, and questions. I wanted to ask, in terms of design, what is the number one principle for a beginning blogger on a budget? Love the show. Thanks.
Thanks, Calum. That's an important question. And I'm going to go pretty quickly through my answers to all these questions because I got more than usual for this particular podcast, and I want to cover as many of them as I can. But the most important principle for a blogger on a budget is keep it simple in terms of design. Leave room, leave white space. Have one clear call to action, whether it's to sign up for your email newsletter or to subscribe via RSS. But keep it simple. Don't gunk everything up with too much clutter. That's the best advice I can give you. The next question comes from Carl.
Hi, Michael. My name is Carl Prude. I'm calling you from Southern California, the Inland Empire. I'm reading your book on Platform, and I have just launched a blog. My business is speaking, and I'm an author. I signed up for MediaChimp, and my question is, do you recommend downloading or importing an email list into MediaChimp and announcing to everyone in the email list that I've launched my blog? And my second question is, how frequently should I post new blog updates to other social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn? Should I send a post to those social media outlets every time I write a new post? And should I duplicate that later on between posts, or, you know, what do you recommend? Thank you.
Carl, to answer your first question, and I assume when you say MediaChimp, you mean MailChimp, which is the email subscription service that I use to manage my subscriber list. You said, do you recommend importing an existing email list to MailChimp? I would say only if you have permission, only if it's a double opt-in list that you've gathered from some other service. MailChimp will let you do this. The technology is there. But if you're just adding people willy-nilly without their permission and they complain, MailChimp will shut you down, as they should, because this is not only an ethical violation, but it's now a legal violation as well. You can no longer do that because none of us want to be receiving spam. One of my pet peeves is being added to a mailing list I didn't subscribe to. And again, it will get you shut down. So don't do it. But if it's a double opt-in list, and by double opt-in, I mean that you sign up and then they send you a confirmation that you did, in fact, sign up for that list. If it's a double opt-in list, yes, feel free to add it to MailChimp. And make sure you communicate to people that you've changed services if there's any difference in the look and the feel, so they don't get confused and think that you've added them to a mail list they didn't subscribe to. You said, how frequently should I post new blog updates to social media outlets? And I recommend, as I said in the main body of the podcast today, I would do it twice a day, no more than twice a day. It's just, it ends up being too much, but you're going to get a different audience at different times. So I think at least twice a day, does make sense. The next question comes from Christopher.
Hi, Michael. My name is Christopher Scott and I'm from Turlock, California. I blog at ChristopherScottBlog.com. The question I have for you for your upcoming podcast on first-time blogger tips is, how do you judge how much money to spend on your blog when you're getting started and growing it? In your platform book, you reference that you spend over $1,000 a month on plugins and things like that. So just curious about what you think is a good model for slowly starting to maybe spend more as you make more from your blog, or what does that look like? Do you only spend, you know, the money that you have made on your plugins and things like that once you've made it, or do you invest up front and hope you make more from that? So just curious of your thoughts. Thanks.
Christopher, I kind of regret the fact that I mentioned that $1,000 a month figure in my book platform, because I think it has discouraged some people from getting started. You don't have to start with that kind of investment at all. In fact, you can start with a $3.95 a month hosting account with Bluehost, use a free theme, and get started today. I mean, it doesn't take really any more than that. What I'm really suggesting, though, is you get more sophisticated as you begin to build traffic, as it takes a bigger server or more bandwidth, you're going to have to spend more money. But hopefully by that time, you're figuring out the monetization. And for me, initially, it was through advertising. And then I started doing the occasional sponsored posts. And then I started selling products. And I never let my investment get too far ahead of the return on that investment. It's just kind of a basic principle, business principle that I try to follow. I hate debt. I don't believe in going into debt. So everything has to be funded out of my cash flow. So if I'm not generating cash flow, I'm not going to be spending it on my blog or on anything else. And again, the investment has to precede the return, but not by much. But I'm taking a portion of those profits every month and reinvesting it in the blog. And some people ask, well, what kinds of things do you spend it? I mean, most of the plugins I see or you see are free. Well, you've got server costs or hosting fees. You've got mail list management. You've got design, development, and programming. And as the blog gets bigger, like I've got two servers that mirror one another so that if one fails, it rolls over to another one. I've got somebody that has to maintain that for me. So there's a lot of different things you can spend money on, but it's a fraction of the cost of what I generate on it. And that's how I look at it. So do not let your investment get too far ahead of the return. And I think if you'll do that, you'll be safe. The next question comes from Duke.
Hi, Michael. This is Duke Dillard. I live in Cappadocia, Turkey, and my website is CaptivatingCappadocia.com. My question is, what advice do you have for those trying to take a hobby blog and turn it into a blog that's trying to make money? How can we preempt those readers who may be offended by the change? Thank you, Michael.
Duke, I would suggest that you run over to tentblogger.com. My friend John Saddington has a series of posts on monetization there, and I can't remember the exact link. If I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes, but you can just search there for monetization or advertising in particular. But that's where I would begin. That's where I did begin, is I started running some ads, and I ran some ads from some friends initially. I went to them and I said, hey, how about if you run an ad on my site and I won't even charge you for the first month? Let's see what it can do. Will it generate the clicks? Probably about half of those signed up for the subsequent month. And then we were off to the races. And so that's where I would start. And in terms of getting your audience used to that, I think you've got two choices. One is you can just kind of, what's called in the software business, slipstream, just start doing it. Just put it, you know, right in the body of your work there and let it happen. I think it might be better, though, frankly, if you've got an audience that is sensitive to this, is explain what you're doing and why you're doing it. But here's what I would say. Don't be apologetic. I find so many people are apologetic about making money. And my own philosophy is the laborer is worthy of his hire. That's a quote right out of the Bible. But if you're providing a valuable service, you deserve to be remunerated for it. It doesn't have to be free. And I wouldn't just get all hung up on that. Go ahead and make money. If you're offering something of value, you deserve it. The next question comes from Jackie.
Hi, my name is Jackie Wilson, calling from Nashville, Tennessee. I blog at jackiewilson.net/blog. I have two questions. My first question is there a social media tool that an individual can use to disseminate a new post to all social media outlets at one time? My second question is, what other outlets besides social media do you suggest a blogger use? Thanks for your help, Mr. Hyatt.
Jackie, yes, you can disseminate a post out to multiple social media outlets at one time. And you can use a service like Hootsuite, or you can use Buffer app. Those will enable you to write one post and it's disseminated to multiple social media networks at one time. However, I do not recommend it. And the reason I don't recommend it, I mean, first of all, it's easy, right? So it's better than nothing, perhaps. But what happens is that many of those social media outlets will actually discount or rate lower in their own feeds those posts that come from a third-party posting service like Hootsuite. Here's how it works. Think of it this way. If you're looking at Facebook, for example, if you're posting from Hootsuite, they know that you're not really going to the Facebook site and creating that post as original content for Facebook. You're probably disseminating one post to multiple sites, and they assume, and I think frankly correctly, that that post is not as important as if you actually made the effort to come to Facebook and post something unique there. So what I do is I post really to just Twitter using Hootsuite, which I love, and then I go to my Facebook page and I post my status update there. I do the same thing with Google+ and with LinkedIn, but you'll get a better result if you do that. Although the time investment may not be worth it to you, in which case, go ahead and use Hootsuite. Again, it's better than nothing. Your second question about what other outlets do you suggest a blogger use besides social media? I would use any traditional media outlet that you have the opportunity to use. I would also use guest posts as a way of driving traffic to your site. But if you're in traditional media, if you've got ads, if you've got articles that run in magazines or newspapers, make sure that you always include a link back to your blog site and just talk about it. Be enthusiastic about it. That more than anything will generate interest in your blog. The next question comes from Mickey.
Hi, Michael. My name is Mickey Vandaloo. I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. My blog address is thegrantchat.blogspot.com. And my question is, I am having trouble generating comments on my blog and want to use my blog for, you know, good discussion and great content, and really would like feedback. So I'm wondering how I would increase the amounts of comments that I receive on my blog. Please give me some feedback on that or provide some advice. I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Jackie, I would recommend first that you read my chapter. I think it's chapter 35 in Platform about how to generate more blog comments. And I go through a number of strategies, a number of tactics that you can use to do that. But let me just give you this one in the short time that we have now. And that is end every blog post with a question. You want to facilitate a conversation, and you have the privilege as the blogger of introducing the topic, of kind of framing it and setting it up. But then I think the best thing you can do is ask an open-ended question that invites people to participate. And then I would also say, and this, I said I was only going to give you one, but let me give you one other. I would use a good commenting system that also facilitates discussion. And I use Discuss, that's spelled D-I-S, WordPress.qus. It's a third-party commenting system that operates as a plugin to WordPress, but many of the major blog sites out there use it, and it makes it very, very easy on the user. So those are a couple things that I would do, but read that chapter. It'll give you a bunch of ideas as well. The next question comes from Mike.
Hi, my name is Mike Mobley. I'm calling from Euless, Texas. My site is beforethecross.com. And I wanted to ask you, when does a blogger start advertising, and is that always necessary?
I'm not quite sure I understand your question, Mike, but it's certainly not always necessary. If you don't want to have that commercial kind of feel to your blog site, you don't have to ever advertise. I think it is a good way, though, to begin monetizing your site, but you've got to probably wait till you've got about 10,000 unique monthly visitors before you're going to be attractive to the major advertising networks like BuySell Ads or Beacon Ads. But maybe 10,000 to 20,000 unique visitors a month, and you can start making some money off your site. But again, it's always a choice. You know, you don't have to do it. It's just one way to monetize what you're creating, your content. And frankly, I think it's a good thing, because I think that when you do that, people value it more. They show that it's almost like social authority that independently verifies that your content is worth supporting because somebody's paying to advertise on it. The next question comes from Sunil.
Michael, it's Sunil Raheja from London, England. My other question is, how can you keep blogging to be a joy rather than a chore, with a continual pressure to keep on writing and having posts? My website, again, is drsunil.com. Thank you.
Well, Sunil, I think most things that are worth doing feel like a chore on the front end, right? I mean, anything that you're learning until you gain some proficiency and competence, it feels like a chore. It's like work, because it is work. And so I wouldn't be discouraged by that on the front end. And then honestly, even after you develop some momentum, there are going to be days where you're not passionate about it, where it is a chore, where it's not a pleasure. And I can tell you from personal experience, that's probably 30% of the time with blogging for me or podcasting. It just feels like a very difficult thing. But then there are other times, and this is the good news. There are times when if you're writing about something you're passionate about, something you feel competent of, something you know your audience needs, and that's where I would really focus, is the need that you're meeting, then it becomes a joy. It becomes a pleasure because you know you're meeting real needs. So I would focus on your audience. That's been really the secret for me. When I start focusing on myself and I get too inward focused, that's when it becomes a chore. But if I can focus on what other people's needs are and the opportunity, the privilege really, I get to meet those needs, then it's a good thing. The last question comes from Todd.
Hi, Michael. This is Todd Lyles from Austin, Texas, and I write at toddlyles.com. My question is, what is the best theme for beginning bloggers when using WordPress? Which one should we install?
You know, I don't have a one-size-fits-all answer for this, Todd. I'm sorry. I think a lot of it depends on the kind of blog, what your personal tastes are, what your design preferences are, and that's why I would suggest that you look back through those major theme providers that I listed in the other question, and which I have listed in the show notes for this particular episode. Woo Themes being one, Elegant Themes, Standard Theme, even my own Get Noticed theme, which will be out later this year. But you find one that best expresses your artistic sensibilities, the structure of your content, all of that. And it's going to take a little work. I think if it were me, I would probably block off a couple of hours and just say, I'm going to go theme shopping. It's like anything else. And I'm going to try to find something that is close to what I envision. And your taste will become more refined over time as well, as you see what the options are and the places where you best express yourself and what you want to accomplish. So I don't have a best theme option for you, but I would suggest that you stick to some of those major theme providers, and you really can't go wrong. So let me just leave you with this question. What advice do you have for first-time bloggers, or what other questions do you have? I'll try to answer these in the comments at michaelhyatt.com/031, as in episode 31, michaelhyatt.com/031. I've got a few announcements. One resource that I mentioned to you last week, and I want to mention again this week, that I think will be really helpful to you, is my new tools page. And I created this in response to the numerous questions I get every week about what hardware, software and other tools I use to do specific tasks, but I've created one comprehensive resource page with links to all my tools. And if nothing else, it might stimulate your thinking process, but you can find it at michaelhyatt.com/mytools, my-tools. There's a link in the show notes. But my next podcast, I'm really excited about this, will be on the topic of creating a personal life plan. And this is going to be based on the ebook that I wrote some time ago, about a year ago, called Creating Your Personal Life Plan. That's been downloaded over 170,000 times. I've had tons of questions. I still get tons of questions about that. And I'm excited to be talking about it. So if you've got a question about life planning and want a chance to get on the show, leave me a voicemail message at michaelhyatt.com/podcast question. This is a terrific way to cross promote your blog or website, because I'll link to it just like I did with the callers in this episode. Well, that's about it for this episode of This Is Your Life. I'd be so grateful if you would rate my podcast on iTunes. That helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible so people who have never heard of it can discover it. And if you'd like to comment on this episode, please go to michaelhyatt.com, go to the show notes for this episode, and scroll down to the comments section. I'd love to hear whatever you got to say there. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? This is your life.